steep hill. Eventually, you get to the top, and the first rider says, I didn't think we were going to make it. And the second rider said, I didn't either. That's why I kept my brake on to make sure we didn't slide back. Sometimes we're not having the impact that we could have. Let's pray. God, thank you for this incredible world that we get to be a part of. The smell of the flowers, the sights of the clouds and sunsets, to hear the song of the birds, to taste freshly baked bread, to feel a hug from a friend. You know exactly what we need, but you go over and above in your goodness to us. Help us to be generous and love others like you've first done to us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Old Testament, we've been preaching out of the book of Malachi. Today, Malachi 1, verse 6 to 14. Ernie will have it on the screen in a second. I'm going to read it to you. Malachi 1, 6 to 14. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is the honor due me? And if I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priest, who despise my name. You say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food on my altar. And you say, how have we polluted it? By thinking that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not wrong? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not wrong? Trying to present that to your governor, will he be pleased with you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now implore the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. The fault is yours. Will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that someone among you would shut the temple doors, so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I'll not accept an offering from your hands. From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations. And in every place incense is offered to my name, and pure offering for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say, the Lord's table is polluted, and its food may be despised. What weariness is this, you say, and you sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows to give it, yet sacrifice to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is reverenced among the nations. There are times in our lives where we're pursuing God for all he can give us. We have joy and hope not only in the present struggles, but trusting also in the future. That the Lord is good and he's been true to his character to stay with us in both the positive seasons and the dark seasons of life. Our hearts are tender to the voice of the Spirit in our lives. And we're looking for where he's working and wanting to partner in God bringing his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. We're soft toward Jesus. We're soft toward others, and we desperately want to root out sin and distraction that separate us from the one who loves us most. There are also periods in our lives where we become distant, even hard toward God and his ways. Things are not going the way we want them to, and if the Lord doesn't fix us or fix the situation, we don't have the time of day for him. Our best is given to our own interest. If things get bad enough, we might send up a rescue prayer. We began the series in the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament and the last of the 12 minor prophets. The nation of Judah has just come out of one of the darkest periods of their existence. 70 years in Babylon as exile was their reward for rebelling against the Lord and going against all they knew that was right. In every way, they reaped what they were sowing. When others act unkindly or unfairly toward us, We are wanting justice to be measured out on them with full weight, full force. But when we are doing our own thing and acting selfishly and hurting others, we expect grace because we're not as bad as someone else we know down the street. This line of thinking holds no validation in the courts of heaven with a perfect and holy God who's asking us to imitate him. Judah has been back home now in Jerusalem for almost 100 years, but sadly, it's almost like they were never gone. They're acting in the same wicked patterns that got them in trouble the last time. Are you in trouble today because you're trying to find your own way through life without trusting and depending on Jesus? Rob Reamer has said, God cares more about our relationship with him than fixing us. Well, often we're looking for a quick resolve for our pain. When things are set out before us, like obeying the speed limit, or being faithful in a relationship, or obeying God's word, why do we try and shake this wisdom off like a blood-sucking mosquito in the summertime? Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where's the honor due me? And if I'm a master, where's the respect due me? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. You say, how have we despised it? God brings three disputes against his own people, revealing their corruption. The first dispute, the Lord says, the people are responding back and saying that, God, you no longer love us. But the Lord challenges their discrepancy of what Israel's saying compared to what they're actually doing. Some people have called this walking the walk. Israel seems clueless to how they've been disrespectful to God. So the Lord replies in verse 1, verse 7, and 8, Malachi, by offering polluted food at my altar, you say, how have we polluted it? But I think the Lord's table may be despised. Verse 8, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not wrong? And when you offer those that are lame and sick, is that not wrong? Try presenting that to your governor. Will he be pleased with you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? Who do you give your best for? Ultimately, we should give our best back to God, the one who has gifted us with all of our abilities. But the nation of Israel was giving their broken things in their offerings and thanksgivings. Has anyone ever given you a broken thing for a birthday or Christmas present? How did that feel? My uncle had a cow who had a cancerous infection in its eye and head. He was not sure that he could sell it for market because it was so damaged, not even to make hamburger out of. When you go to a wedding, what kind of gift do you give? Carrie and I, now keep in mind, this was 31 years ago, Carrie and I ended up with clocks, with toasters, a microwave, dishes, and on at our wedding. Are we too embarrassed to put our name to something we gave? Instead of people giving their best to God, a portion of all the good they had, they were giving their worst. They offered the blind, the lame, the worthless, the things no one would have wanted even at the butcher shop. Have you ever given a gift to your boss or someone that's over you? Was it a nice gift? Or was it a box of chocolate that you put Ex-Lax in? Just like the people of Israel wouldn't dare giving a poor gift to the governor, why can they give a pathetic offering to God? Malachi 1:9. And now implore the favor of God that he might be gracious to us. The fault is yours. Will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Why do we pray, come to church, read our Bibles, and give generously? Is it so God owes us something? A favor we can call in down the road when we're really in trouble? It is said that in earlier times, when appeals were made to help support the international workers or missionaries overseas, that people gave generously. They gave their used tea bags. They would only use them twice before they sent them off as a gift in the faraway lands. Malachi 1:10, Oh, that some among you would shut the temple doors, so that you would not kindle fire in my altars in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. I will not accept the offering from your hands. If our commitment to God is mere lip service, then heart service, it really is not going to have the kind of impact in our lives that we were hoping for. It's kind of like paying the mafia off to protect our business. Who are the mafia protecting you from? Themselves. Why do we sacrifice our lives in serving the kingdom of God? Why in Lent do we sometimes do without, sometimes even good things as an offering to God? What we're trying to say with our words and actions is that we can even do without good things. But the one thing that we cannot live without is our relationship with Jesus. Listen to how the Apostle Paul explains this in Philippians 3, 8-11. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For this sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I have become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I'll experience the resurrection from the dead. Good deeds will not make us right before God, but it's our relationship with Jesus that matters most. Malachi 1:11, "For the rising of the sun to the setting, my name is great among the nations. In every place, incense is offered for my name, is great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." Have you ever sung the song, "From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised"? God's good name is praised all around the world and among the nations. If Israel chooses to abstain by offering what is of no value, it does not change who God is, and or that we should worship him with all that we are and all that we have. Malachi 1:12-13. "But you profane God's name when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and his foods may be despised." Malachi 1:13. "What a weariness this is," you say. "You sniff at it," says the Lord of hosts. "You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept this from your hand?" They're dishonoring the God they are to love by their actions. Israel grumbles and complains. It's too hard to serve the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if you robbed your friend or neighbor and then gave it in the offering plate next week? Can you see their disconnect? Going through the motions like you care, but in fact, you could care less. Have you ever been in a relationship or a friendship like this, where you're pouring in 100%, but the other person acts completely indifferent? It's completely hurtful. And for the relationship to last, there has to be some major changes. The final verse, Malachi 1:14. "Cursed is the cheat who has a male in the flock and vows to give it, yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is revered among the nations." We will never win when we attempt to cheat God out of what is rightfully his. We are his passion, the sheep of his pasture. In every sense, we're the apple of his eye because he has made us in his own image. In all that is wonderful about us, we bear the image or representation of Jesus Christ. Luke 19:36-40, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, later coined Palm Sunday. It says, "As he rode along, the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached a place where the road started down Mount Olive, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessing on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying that. And Jesus replied, If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst out in cheers. If our world refuses to recognize Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, finally even creation cries out, declaring his glory. We may refuse to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ, but it's not going to stop it from coming and happening. God's kingdom is coming from heaven to earth with our participation or without it. President Eisenhower told this tale. He said one day they wanted to buy a cow from a neighboring farmer. And so they wanted to ask a few questions about the cow first. And so they said, well, what kind of pedigree does this cow have? And the farmer wasn't quite sure what that meant. So he said, I'm not sure. And he said, well, how much butter fat do you get, you know, from the cow in the milk? Farmer didn't know that either. How many pounds of milk do you get a year? Farmer said, I'm not sure. But this is what I am sure of. She's an honest old cow, and she'll give all the milk that she has. God's people need to be like that old cow. We need to give everything that we have. The nation of Israel that God raised out of Abraham and Sarah, that he called his very own, has rejected him. The people want to dictate their own lives and then run back to God when they end up in a mess, which always happens when we act on what we think is best and want to direct our own lives. In the 9 verses we looked at in our text today, the phrase, the Lord of hosts, is mentioned 7 times. Whenever you see repetition like this in Scripture, it's done intentionally. The Lord of hosts is actually mentioned 261 times in the Old Testament. It means Lord of hosts is God of the armies of heaven. Israel's not just dealing with a heavenly being like an angel or even angels, but the God of heaven and earth. When God met Moses in the wilderness through the bush on fire that wasn't burning up, he said to Moses, You're on holy ground, take your shoes off. Is it possible that we are on holy ground as God interconnects with our lives and we don't even know it? The God of creation has gifted each of us differently in our minds, with our hands, our creativity, our imagination, our voices, our song, dance, art, physical endurance. What are you personally doing with the gifts and graces that you've been given? Do you share this with others, or is it something that we hoard, keeping tucked away for our own advantage? When you give your best at something, what does that look like? Why do we withhold from God and others? Are we scared that it will never be replenished or precious? If we don't take care of ourselves, no one else will. We can fear that we'll never get paid at our jobs again. The raspberry bush will never have raspberries again. The cow will never have milk again, which when formed with chocolate makes a mighty foe. Fear can enter our hearts instead of being filled with joy. We should be filled with joy because the source of all we have has actually come from God. If the Lord really is the author of our daily bread, do you think the God of heaven and earth is going to run out of resources? Israel chose to rely on themselves, and they reap the sadness and depravity that comes to all who go down this path. But Jesus has a better way for you and me. Why do we desperately hold on to what we cannot keep? The things that will drive a wedge between us and God. When we willingly surrender this, this is what he has for us. This is in Revelation 21, 5-7. And the one sitting on the throne said, Look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, It's finished. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the spring of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my children. When we're at peace with God, we cannot help but being generous and caring for the broken world that's all around us. All God is requiring from us is our all. Let's pray. Jesus, when we choose ourselves, what you have for us is that you give us everything. You long for community with each of us. It's so easy to make life all about us. Forgive us. Come and lift our heads again so we can be free and look you eye to eye. Thank you for distributing work of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. We want all you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Seated. Just going to give a little instructions with communion this morning. At some point, I'm going to invite you up, and there's a couple stations where you would get the bread and the juice. There's also gluten-free bread for those who need gluten-free, And eventually, at the end of the service, when you walk out, there'll be baskets that you can put your cups and the paper that holds the bread in. This morning, we focus on the fellowship or the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. God created us to be in relationship with Him and each other, and when we go outside of that, it usually doesn't fare well for us. I love when Paul says in the New Testament, he says, you're no longer Jew or Gentile, or male or female, or free or slave. The amazing thing that Jesus comes is He comes and unifies us in a way that nothing else has been able to. We come from all different places, especially in Canada. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different families. We think differently. We work at different jobs. And somehow we can come together in community and be united because of Jesus. He's the one that brings fellowship and unity among us. I'm going to encourage you to come and to that station or this station, and we'll come and pick the elements up, and then you'll hang on to them, and then we'll partake of it together. So come.
Are you hurting and broken? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Let's partake of it together. Thank you, Jesus, that you unify us like nothing else in the world can. That you conquer our hearts with your love. And it transforms everything within us. Thank you for the friendship that we can have with each other, even though we come from different sides of the country and different jobs and different thoughts. Thank you for the wonderful things that you've done within our hearts and you continue to do. Amen. In the same way, Jesus takes the cup and says, this is the blood of new covenant. Whoever drinks it does in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again. And we say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Let's partake of it together. Jesus, our hearts are full of gratitude with your shed blood that changed everything, that transformed us, that made us whiter than snow. Thank you, Jesus, that your forgiveness comes to us every moment of the day, that no matter what happens, what difficulty, what hardship, what failure we experience, we can walk back in communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen. On the first Sunday of every month, we take a benevolent offering, and so we're going to take that now. Couple announcements, benediction, we'll sing one more song and then be dismissed. Just a couple reminders of things coming this week. We have men's group is starting, home group on Tuesday night. We have youth on Wednesday night. On Friday at 3 o'clock is going to be Karen's funeral here. We encourage anyone and everyone to come out. Last thing, ARC Sunday School. The next 2 weeks we don't have anyone signed up for, I think it's the 9th and the 16th, is that right? And anyway, if we don't have anyone signed up, we'll just have the kids end the service with us. But if people are willing to sign up, we'll be thrilled with that as well. You know what's interesting is that in obeying God, in the scriptures, in some ways, it's easy to see what he's calling us to do in loving God and loving our neighbor. But there are times in our lives that he actually speaks specific things of obedience to each of us. I can remember being about 23 and for about a year felt like God spoke to me about not going to the movie theater, to certain movies. Well, not any movies, for a year. And I told one of my friends this and he said, you know what? I think everybody thinks you're weird. He goes, but I think I understand. And I at that point, I was just concerned about at times walking into movie theaters. It's not like it is today where you can find out about, you can watch the movie before you go to the theater, you know. And so at times I would be in a movie and things would show up in a movie theater that I didn't want to be a part of. And so for about a year I did that. I remember a friend of mine who maybe liked to drink maybe a little bit too much. And he was driving one day his pickup truck in Calgary, and he heard God as clear as day and said, "Paul, no more. I want you to stop." And so the amazing thing is, this God of the universe is continually speaking into each of our lives exactly what we need to hear when we need to hear it. The question is, will we obey? As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that's all he's asking. He's asking us to obey him. Amen.
If you'd like to, you're free to stand while we close with one more song.
He came from glory, took on flesh to save the lost, grace and mercy displayed upon the cross, our redemption. He's the hope for all mankind, one name over everything, one name over everything. Jesus over everything, he reigns forevermore. Our song for all eternity, Jesus Christ is Lord. Who can rival our resurrected King? In one moment brought death to its knees. All the power and all authority to one name over everything, one name over everything. Jesus over everything, he reigns forevermore. Our song for all eternity, Jesus Christ is Lord. Over fear, over shame, over all anxiety, over troubles and all pain, over sickness and disease, for he reigns on the throne. All praise to him alone.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus.